Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vritya Lakshana Gyasur Bhaktam Kameshva Chodayat Bhavan Samsara Bijeshu Hridaya Granthishu Prabho Britya Lakshana Jigyasur Bhaktam Kameshva Chodayat Bhavan Samsara Bijeshu Hridaya Granthishu Prabho. Britya Lakshana Jigyasur Bhaktam Kameshva Chodayat Bhavan Samsara Vijeshu Hridaya Granthishu Prabho. Britya Lakshana Jigyasur Vritya Lakshana Jigyasu. Desiring to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Vaktam, the devotee. Kameshu, in the material world, where lusty desires predominate. Achodayat has sent Bhavan, your lordship, Samsara Bijeshu, the root cause of being present in this material world. Hridaya Granthishu, which desire for material enjoyment is in the core of the hearts of all conditioned souls. Prabho, O my worshipable Lord. Translation, O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Little inside information here. purport by Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has given considerable discussion about Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha devotees. Nitya Siddha devotees come from Vaikuntha to this material world to teach, by their example, how to become a devotee. The living entities in this material world can take lessons from such Nitya Siddha devotees and thus become inclined to return home back to Godhead. A Nitya Siddha devotee comes from Vaikuntha upon the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and shows by his example how to become a pure devotee, anyabhilashata shunyam. In spite of coming to this material world, the Nitya Siddha devotee is never attracted by the allurements of material enjoyment. A perfect example is Prahlad Maharaj, who was a Nitya Siddha, a Mahabhagavata devotee. Although Prahlad was born in the family of Hiranyakashipu, an atheist, he was never attached to any kind of materialistic enjoyment, desiring to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. The Lord tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to take material benedictions, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept them. On the contrary, by his personal example, he showed the symptoms of a pure devotee. In other words, the Lord himself has no desire to send his pure devotee to this material world, nor does the devotee have any material purpose in coming. When the Lord himself appears in an incarnation within this material world, he is not allured by the material atmosphere, and he has nothing to do with material activity. Yet, by his example, that's his with a capital H, the Lord's example, he teaches the common man how to become a devotee. Similarly, a devotee who comes here in accordance with the order of the Supreme Lord shows by his personal behavior how to become a pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is a practical example for all living entities, including Lord Brahma. In case there was any doubt about Prahlad Maharaja's origin, there shouldn't be any remaining. Vritya Lakshana Jigyasur Bhaktam Kameshva Chodayat Bhavan Sangsara Bijeshu Hridaya Grantishu Prabho. O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desire, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Hridaya Granthishu. The hard knot of material affinity or material affection, or here Prabhupada is being really blunt, lusty desire. And the lusty desire in one sense can mean literally male-female attraction, that kind of lusty desire which is found in every species of life somehow. The somehow is described in Sri Brahma Samhita. I decided that little nice little book Sri Brahma Samhita that just sits on the shelf. When you open it, you start to read it, you need a dictionary, and then you put it back on the shelf. And then, but you know, it's, so I came across a letter from Prabhupada to Pradyumna Prabhu from 1968, October 1968. Like, that was pretty early in the Hare Krishna movement. And apparently, Pradyumna had found a copy and asked Prabhupada if he should read it. It was good of him to ask instead of just reading it. And Prabhupada said yes. More than just saying yes, Prabhupada said, this Sri Brahma Samhita is just like Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is in this very short treatise where Krishna is the source of everything and the process of devotional service is all described. So I would like all of my disciples to carefully study this literature, especially because it was commented upon by my spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So there's so many instructions of what Prabhupada wanted his disciples to do, but somehow I thought, well, that's, I've always been curious, now I've got this like impetus because Prabhupada said. So I've been spending some time trying to decode the language of Bhaktisiddhanta. And not surprising, the message of Sri Brahma Samhita, as Prabhupada said, it exactly parallels Srimad Bhagavatam. There are like chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam specific to the process of creation that are in a verse or two in the sutra like Sri Brahma Samhita. And one of them is this one, the primordial lusty desire of the living entity. So I'll just go there a little bit because I've been studying it, just a little sharing. When Mahavishnu desires to two things from Srimad Bhagavatam, he desires the living entities who, during the annihilation phase, they're within his body in a susupti state, and he has a desire or a wish. Imagine being the Supreme Lord having a wish. Because with his wish, is then it becomes fact. There's no difference between his wish and fact. So he wishes that the living entities who are in this dormant state, that they awaken to their loving state. Specifically, Prabhupada speaks of the re-enter again into the eternal rasa dance, but to reawaken their loving relationship with him. He has that wish for them. It's compassion. They're in this. They're lost. They're covered. Their consciousness is dormant. He wishes that they have that facility. Then a second thing, the external energy, which is the reflection of his internal potency, Rama, because he's eternally enjoying with Rama, his internal potency. And there's the external potency, the reflection of his internal potency, and she has nothing to do. And he knows that she wants something to do. So out of compassion, he desires, he has this wish to give her something to do. Those two things are mentioned. And to fulfill those two wishes, he just glances. I mean, he doesn't even have to glance. He doesn't have to do anything. He has a desire in bhavati. It happens. Voila. So he glances. And with the glance, we normally hear the Shambhu is the glance, but there's detail in Sri Brahma Samhita where Rama, his internal potency, understands the will of her master, Mahavishnu. So of her multipotencies, she transforms some of her multipotencies for the purpose of fulfilling his desire. And so one of those is the time energy, which is in the spiritual realm, is eternal. But she transforms that internal potency into the other kind, the one that we're familiar with, the past, present, and future kind. And that's, it's something like, it's very similar to the position of Yogamaya when Kamsa tries to kill Yogamaya, the eighth child, but he thinks that's the eighth child of Devaki when it's not, it's Yogamaya. And she then slips out of his hand, flies into the sky, and becomes Durga. Yogamaya, transformed, because everything, the Shaktis come from her. And there's Durga, known by different names in different parts of the land. So as Yogamaya has her feature of Durga, or Rama has her feature of the external potency, time also has this eternal and, we'll call it, material or temporal feature. It's one energy for the Lord's purpose becomes transformed. So the time energy is then entrusted to Shambhu. And the living entities are entrusted to Shambhu because the Lord has a desire. So they're just serving Mahavishnu's desire. And then when the glance contacts Pradhan, then it becomes agitated. And as it becomes agitated, the undifferentiated elements start to differentiate. And the first one is our dear friend, false ego. And Bhaktisiddhanta describes that Shambhu is the primordial personification of false ego. And this false ego has as its essence procreative desire. That's how Bhaktisiddhanta writes. And therefore, all the living entities that then injected in Pradhan, now becoming Mahatattva, get a body, they have this from the primordial desire of Mahavishnu, the primordial act of procreation. All the living entities become covered by it. He's not touched by false ego, but those living entities are touched or covered by, are influenced by false ego. And then, the whole show goes on. It makes the world go round. False ego and sex desire are connected, and it's connected to the primordial act of Mahavishnu's glance. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta explains. So, lusty desire isn't confined to the specific act of procreation. Lusty desire is then pervasive. It's the living entity desiring the position of Purusha, to be the enjoyer of matter. So even if somebody is, say, observing celibacy, they could certainly have lusty desire in the form of trying to be the enjoyer of material energy in the position of the Purusha. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, all living entities take birth in the material world, overcome by the desire of the duality of desire and hate. So, in this verse, text 3, Prahlad is assessing the Lord's purpose. So in the purpose of creation, back to that, Mahavishnu wants that the living entities can again return to him in loving devotion. Of course, so then the creation is made as a facility, but it's a two-part facility. They can misuse the opportunity. The opportunity is to restore that loving relationship with the personality of Godhead. But when you have an opportunity, you can misuse it. Like, you know, people that win the lottery. They've got millions of millions or lots of millions. And then with those lots of millions, they can do stuff. An article that I read is the people, a study was made of people that won the lottery and their lives were destroyed, largely, because they don't have a clue how to use millions of dollars or even, you know, $1 million or even some of it. So they don't know how to use it because it becomes used in sense gratification, which increases bondage, and with that bondage, darkness of ignorance and suffering and illusion. And so people that win the lottery, they go crazy. Anyway, without all the detail. They don't know who their friends are anymore because everyone wants to be their friend now, and so they isolate themselves, and in that isolation they feel lonely, and then they start indulging in things that can numb that feeling, and, you know, they destroy their lives. So don't. There's a good reason to not take part in lottery. Besides, it's not, you know, it's in violation of our principles. But the consequences of ignoring that is not good consequences. But so lusty desire, this pervasive aspect of lusty desire, is the living entity's misuse of that opportunity of creation. And so because the Lord has that purpose of creation, to bring living entities back, and then the alternative to lusty desire. The word in the verse is kameshu, and Prabhupada's word for word is in the material world where lusty desires predominate. So, kamesha, krodesha, rajoguna. Samudva. Rajoguna is contact with this mode that says, I want to enjoy. And the voice gets louder. And sometimes softer. But I'm at the center, and what it's about is my enjoyment. And as long as that contact with the mode of passion is there, then the purpose of creation is not fulfilled. And it predominates, just like going back to this example of Sri Brahma Samhita. The insects and the birds and the fish and, you know, the animals, they don't have to go to school and learn sex desire and how the program happens. It's just built in. The modes of nature. And I don't know if there's some DNA code or something like that. The modes of nature are influencing in that way. It's pervasive. And that's exactly what's being described. Lusty desires predominate in the material world. So Krishna is desiring, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is desiring, the purpose of creation should be fulfilled. And so, Prahlad is specifically describing here, for that reason you sent me into this material world. So, why? Prabhupada examines in the purport. The Lord doesn't want to send his pure devotee into this dark place for any other reason than fulfilling the purpose of the creation. And so, while that devotee is in this dark place, the devotee is very dear to him and is always protected by him. And the strength to carry out that service is given to him. He's invested with spiritual potency to carry out the instruction, the service that the Lord has for him. So that's the Nitya Siddha personality. And let's just take a wild guess and say that's none of us. We're not nityasiddhas. We're the other kind that are being guided by our founder Acharya and his pure example, and the predecessor Acharyas and their pure example. And kind of two little sidebars, maybe Dravida and Ramaswar may remember this history. When Sansaravaraj was asked to write Prabhupada's biography because of his literary skill and after Prabhupada's departure, Sansaravaraj shared this with me at some point in time, some time back, where there were two approaches. And the approach that he chose was a living entity like one of us becoming perfect. Then another perspective, which some people had, was Prabhupada was a nityasiddha who descended to this realm, and he was like Prahlad, exhibiting, here's how you do it. Although he wasn't conditioned, he was showing, here's how you do it. Two different perspectives. And those that liked the second one let Sansaravaraj Maharaj know they didn't like the approach he was taking. And I didn't get the reason why he chose the first one instead of the second one. I guess it's like how he saw Prabhupada, or maybe it was he was inspired because this could give encouragement more to us that we don't have to be a nityasiddha and then we can become perfect. We can be one of us and become perfect by the mercy of the Acharya and the adherence to the teachings and faithful following of the Acharya, which Prabhupada exhibited in his life. So both work, whether it's one who becomes perfect and then by example shows how, or one who descends from Vaikuntha and shows how. The conclusion of the purport is, a pure devotee, therefore, is a practical example for all living entities, including Lord Brahma. And a little related to this, another little sidebar is, one of the common questions that I get asked, maybe it's, you know, one of the top five questions, is I don't get how to be Krishna conscious in the workplace. I get the sadhana part. And then from 9 o'clock, I sit down at my workstation, and 5 o'clock, I'm just doing my work, and then it's 5 o'clock, and now I know how to be a devotee again, but I don't know how to apply bhakti yoga, the principles of bhakti, in the workplace. Probably anybody that's a preacher gets that question a whole bunch. And one of the answers, that responses that I give is, one of the services that you have in the workplace is to show by example, here's what a devotee is. Here's what a Vaishnava who has side by side with other people that are not devotees, here's what a devotee is. You're a perambulatory Bhagavad Gita. You're to teach by your example. And then if people ask you, you can then, you know, say, you know, in a careful way, this is why I am what I am, because people sometimes wonder why, you know, what's going on with you. You don't do the things that everybody else does. And besides eating and talking, you don't complain, you don't backbite, you don't fault find, you don't do any of those things. You're very calm, you're always very focused, you get your work done before everybody else does, and you're like, you're a superstar. So what's the secret here? I've had devotees say to people, not exactly those words, but speak like that. Part of, it's not the totality, but it's an important part of, it fits in with what's presented here. A Vaishnava's service in the association or in the medium of or in the environment of non-devotees is to show by example. This is the life of one who is a devotee. It's something that I'm very conscious of because I always, well, except for certain parts of the world where you can't be a devotee, dress as a devotee, I know that people are evaluating the Hare Krishna movement, although they don't know the Hare Krishna movement, just based on my example and my behavior and my speech and my, you know, things. Very conscious of that. So it's a service as I'm going about. So, and similarly, you may not be dressed as a devotee with, and you know, saffron and so forth when you're moving about the world, but if people don't know, they'll come to know. And certainly in workplaces, it's commonly people know that there's either there's something different about you, or specifically you're a Hare Krishna devotee. And so they're learning from you the character and the quality of a devotee. And because you're carrying bhakti within your heart, even if you don't say anything, other people are being benefited just by that. To the degree to which the reservoir of bhakti in your heart is very strong, others will directly benefit, indirectly benefit. So Prahlad is saying to the Supreme Lord, you've sent me here to show by example Britya Lakshana Jigyasu. Britya Lakshana Jigyasu. Desiring to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Krishna wants us to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. In fact, to do that, you have to become a pure devotee. But exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee, because through association, others take on the quality, or one takes on the qualities of those with whom one associates. Then there's a little tricky, because we're cautioned to not intimately associate with non-devotees. And in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing, because he was a grihastha, like in this Bhakti Loka, for example, the six and the six nectar of instruction, six symptoms that destroy, six symptoms that foster bhakti. And in both of them, in those six and six, there's description of association with non-devotees. And one should strictly avoid association with non-devotees. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur details, for one who is a grihastha, you're mixing with people in the workplace, and cordiality doesn't fall in the category of what's forbidden or what will destroy bhakti. Like, hello, how are you, how are things? How's the family, and cordialities. But what's not to be done is intimate discussions on, you know, what do you think I should do about my life, or something. You know, taking direction in terms of one's confidential matters of life. But one can give association when circumstance permits, and a devotee who desires, somehow, Krishna, give me the opportunity to present to the people in the workplace here your message, your teaching, your, at least, you know, prasadam, your mercy. Then in that positive way, one can give association without taking association. And similarly, as we, you know, brahmacharis and others that go distributing books and going on Harinam and meeting the public, and it's not just the gift of the holy name and the transcendental literature, it's also the quality of devotion. Some persons may say no, but they may also be moved by the character of the devotee. And the devotional service has to begin somewhere. And sometimes those people come back and say, I changed my mind, I'd like that book. It's part of the Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, the service of giving association in so many different ways, unlimited varieties of ways. But the principle of giving association, specifically giving the holy name and giving this transcendental knowledge, knowledge in the form of the books, the knowledge in the form of conversation, knowledge in the form of lectures and presentations and festivals and giving Krishna consciousness, giving the teaching of pure devotion. And ideally from the person who has the character of an ideal devotee, or the symptoms of a pure devotee, lakshana jigyasur bhaktam kameshu achodayat, recognizing that the audience, largely, unless Krishna consciousness has become awakened, is this fascination with trying to be the enjoyer of matter in one form or another, but be certain that there's this, you know, lusty element in the atmosphere that they're dealing with. And so for the devotee to go into that atmosphere, there's risk. We should be conscious of the risk that we're taking when we go into that atmosphere. But we should also be especially conscious of the protection that's afforded to one who takes up that service. And not otherwise. The extension of being an instrument of Lord Chaitanya, or our disciplic succession to go into the material atmosphere and give Krishna consciousness to others, it's a risk. There's protection. We don't take liberties because there's protection. Not like then an opportunity to sample varieties of sense gratification. Or by seeing how people are engaged in sense gratification, think, maybe I'm missing out. Prabhupada spoke like that about a brahmachari who may go door to door on behalf of his guru, or a sannyasi that may go to give the message of Krishna consciousness to others. And if the brahmachari or the sannyasi going into the home of the householder thinks, oh, they're living so nicely, maybe I'm missing out, then this isn't very good. The sense of protection has now dropped, because this position of serving is forgotten. Prabhupada writes in the purport, when the Lord himself appears as an incarnation within this material world, he is not allured by the material atmosphere, and he has nothing to do with material activity. Yet, by his example, he teaches the common man how to become a devotee. Similarly, a devotee who comes here, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Lord, shows by his personal behavior how to become a pure devotee. So that's, we're not Nitya Siddha category, but that's our service also. Here's how to become a devotee. Here's what a devotee is. I'm looking at my watch and I'm over time. I'm going to end. Yes.
Wonderful presentation, especially the technical aspects that you touched on from the Brahma Samhita. Which brings me to a question that I've had burning for a long time that has never really been answered to my satisfaction. Have you seen anywhere a technical explanation of how it is? All right, let me just preface this by saying that we know that Krishna, he declares himself to be the purifier. Arjuna says he's the supreme purifier. Anything, anyone that comes in contact with Krishna becomes purified. If Krishna kills you, you become purified. If you die in Krishna's presence, you're purified. Yet, the living entity remains in this susupti state for billions of years in direct contact with Mahavishnu and does not become purified. That's always blown my mind. How is that possible? Is there a technical explanation of that?
I've not read anything directly that gives the answer to that question. But, just as that living entity, those living entities within the body of Mahavishnu are in contact with him, Shiradakshai Vishnu is also within their heart. Yes? And one could say, in contact with them. But what is that contact with them as the super soul that's within the heart? Might it be similar to Mahavishnu and the living entities within the body of Mahavishnu? Whatever Shiradakshai Vishnu's contact with the living entity is presently, might it be something similar? So in other words, under his potency, he doesn't interfere with the free will of the living entity. So whether it's in the manifest state or the dormant annihilation state, living entities are super. Shiradakshai Vishnu is there, and in the Susupti state, Mahavishnu is there, but he doesn't interfere with their free will. So some arrangement of his energy so that their free will desires are intact. He doesn't interfere with it. So there's some feature of his energy permits them to be where they want to be, and he doesn't interfere with it. Whatever that description is, I haven't read it. Something else? Yes, Dravida.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for the illuminating class. Back to a question on the Lilamrita. That was an interesting point you made. First of all, just a point of information. Satsut Maharaj, in 1977, he spent a lot of time here as a BTG editor, as the editor-in-chief of the BTG. I was working with him. He went several times to see Prabhupada in Vrindavan, thinking this was the time I should go. Before he went, one of those times, he expressed to me the desire to write the biography of Srila Prabhupada. He wanted to write it. And I said, you may want to write it, and it's a very good idea, but you should go and get the approval of Srila Prabhupada, yes, and get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada that is approved, because otherwise it'll be very controversial. And he did that, and that's how, you know, he was given the, okay, now write the book. Everything was cleared from that. But the point that you made about the two ways in which to present Prabhupada, I'm trying. I haven't read it lately, the whole Lilamrita, but I think in order to manifest this very thing that Prahlad is talking about as showing the symptoms of a pure devotee and how one can be a devotee. Prabhupada himself often presented himself that way. Like he often quoted that verse, yasyaham anugrihnami, how when Krishna really shows mercy, he takes away all your wealth, and he gave his own life as an example of that. How he was trying to make the business and all this stuff. So, from what I recall, it's not that Satsang Rinpoche didn't mention that, you know, fact that Prabhupada is a nityasiddha and so forth. But in his presentation, and I might be wrong about this, he presented Prabhupada in many of the ways that he presented himself as an example, as an effective example to inspire others to follow in the footsteps of a pure devotee. Because it's like Prahlad is saying here, you gave me the example, as an example. But we get so much of, well, he was from birth, in other words, he was instructed. It was almost like he didn't even make the decision. I mean, he didn't make the decision in the womb, right? But his behavior was such that it showed the example. So, I mean, it's a delicate point, and I don't know if I have it right there, but I think that that's what the decision was, to present Prabhupada in many of the ways he presented himself, so that it could be an example of how to begin.
Those that are on the second category would say something like this. Of course Prabhupada did like that because he was showing as a nityasiddha, here's how you do it. So he was characterizing himself in that way to show here's how you do it. But he's no question, he's a nityasiddha. Showing how you do it. That's how they would say something like that.
Satsang Rinpoche never said that in the whole book, that Prabhupada was a nityasiddha.
But the portrayal was this the other way.
Yeah.
Ramaswar, would you like to comment on this? Of course.
First of all, thank you very much for this class. Thank you. My understanding of Srila Prabhupada is that he is a nityasiddha. So when I look at the Lilamrita, I read it as a Nitya Siddha going through these steps of life to show a devotee how he confronts adversity and any other situation that Prabhupada confronted. But I do recall that Satsarupa put in the Lilamrita that Prabhupada had said that never was there a time where I forgot Krishna. Never was there a moment where I wasn't thinking of Krishna. I believe he put that in there. And so I'm not so sure how Satsarupa Maharaj was thinking. I didn't ask him specifically, which approach are you taking? But when I read it as if Prabhupada is a Nitya Siddha and these are different stages that he manifests. That's just how I read it. Okay. From that perspective, oh, I always had the perspective he's a Nitya Siddha devotee. I didn't find a conflict in my mind thinking that and reading the Lilamrita. I kept thinking
I've spoken to people that have. And everybody loves controversy. We thrive on controversy, right? There's nothing wrong. It's it can be healthy, as long as you know Krishna's in the center and not something different. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.